the man you might see behind, like, Pat Shurmur during one of his press conferences this season, that's Tom Rock.
I'm lurking.
Yeah, he is lurking.
I'm a lurker.
And he covers the Giants from Newsday. All right, Tom, we've been heavy on the draft prospects, so let's try to do more Giant-centric stuff here.
Okay.
First things first, biggest takeaway for you from what we heard from both Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur yesterday?
That they haven't made up their mind yet about what they're going to do.
Wide open, right?
Number two pick. Wide open. In fact, I just saw Pat Shurmur in the hallway out there, and I said, oh, I heard some people talking about where you're going to go, and he said, they're lying because we don't even know where we're going to go. So, you know, I think this whole thing is wide open. I think the interesting thing that we learned about yesterday when we talked to those guys was a lot about Davis Webb, and we really don't know too much about him, but we learned that he's been in the facility. He's been shadowing Eli Manning for most of the offseason so far.
And Paul's been shadowing him.
Paul's probably the only guy in the organization, I think, with the CBA who's allowed to talk football with these guys, right? Because Pat Shurmur was saying he has to bite his tongue every time he sees them in the cafeteria.
That's true.
Because he's not allowed.
That's
so
true.
I don't know how.
But he can talk with Eli.
He can talk. Well,
Davis can.
Eli and Davis could talk to each other. Yes,
and that's like having a coach.
They can talk football. Sure, sure.
That's correct.
So there's a lot of weird rules about when you can do these things, and even when the off season program starts in April, they can't pick up a football for the first 2 weeks or whatever. It's all this cockamamie stuff.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that changes when the CBA gets renewed.
I think it will. Yeah. I think it will. Absolutely. And in fact, it's funny because that was the Pat Shurmur's first year in Cleveland. That was the first year they had those rules.
2011.
Right after the lockout in 2011. So he had to kind of adjust to being a head coach and adjust to the new rules at the same time. So I think that was probably one of the things that held him back in Cleveland.
One thing we kind of heard a little bit from with Shurmur and Gettleman about a month or so ago, and we heard again yesterday, is that Eli Apple has a clean slate. This is a former first-round pick who, quite frankly, the team has a lot of investment in, and they also know that the kid can play. Well, is it any real surprise to any of us that they would try to give him another chance to get his career on track?
Well, you don't give up on talent, right? That's what Dave Gettleman told us at his introductory press conference. So he has a clean slate with the front office. He has a clean slate with the coaching staff. Does he have a clean slate with the locker room? Right? That's going to be the big thing.
Time will tell.
If he plays well, if he shows up, if he puts his helmet on and goes to work, I think he will. If not, I think there's a lot of people in that locker room that feel the way Landon Collins did at the end of the year, that he's more part of the problem than he is part of the solution. Mm-hmm. So he's got to win those guys over, and the only way to do that is to show up to work and get going, make some plays.
Understandably, most of the talk with Gettleman and Shurmur yesterday was on the draft. Second overall pick, of course. That's you can get a franchise-changing player. But free agency comes first, and it's less than two weeks away. What's your feel for what Gettleman's approach is going to be in free agency? Are they going to be willing to give out a premium contract to a guard or Nate Solder if they like him? How aggressive do you think they're going to be trying to patch up what both guys have said is one of their top focuses, the offensive line?
I think we're going to be very surprised that the Giants don't go after those guys, because if you look at Gettleman's track record, right, and who was the first offensive lineman signing that he talked about at his introductory press conference? Sean O'Hara, right? The guy nobody had heard of. He was kind of lingering in Cleveland. They picked him up. He became a New York Giants legend, right? So I think we're going to find the guys, even the guy Norwell. I mean, he was an undrafted guy. Gettleman weeded him out. And you look at guys like Richie Seibert. Those are the Gettleman guys. The fourth-round pick, David Deal, the guys who he sees something in but can get at a value. And I think that's what's going to be. I wouldn't even venture to say who it's going to be because I don't go that far deep into my knowledge. But I think that's the kind of approach that Dave wants to have. With building this team, is looking under the rocks instead of on top of them.
Yeah, the steals, if you will. Because Norwell, everybody knows. The guy's an all-pro.
Right.
There's no steal there, and you're going to have to pay a lot to get a lot.
Right.
Unlike, as you mentioned, even Kevin Booth was a very valuable guy for this team.
You look at that offensive line, and there really wasn't a lot of guys. I mean, so they invested a lot in Snee, right, with the second pick.
And McKenzie.
McKenzie, right, they signed as a free agent, and even in the second Super Bowl run, you had David Boss, who they brought in as a free agent. But a lot of those guys, they were kind of cast-offs from other places and guys who worked their way up from the practice squad and things like that, undrafted guys. So I think that's that's the Gettleman MO when it comes to building the offensive line. He likes to find the things that nobody else finds and then not have to pay an exorbitant amount for them.
One other interesting point that I think a lot of people overlooked from the Shermer press conference, one of them, I forget which guy said it, that even though Betcher plays a 3-4, it's still a one-gap system. And for fans that don't understand what that means, generally speaking, 3-4 systems are considered two gaps, which means each defensive lineman is responsible for two gaps on defense. They're not trying to penetrate. They're just trying to hold the offensive lineman so the linebackers can make a play. The 4-3 defense is one gap. You focus on one gap. You try to penetrate in that gap and make a play. And as we've seen a lot, 3-4 defenses are kind of taking on that one-gap philosophy, which appears to be what James Betcher is going to do, which means maybe the personnel changes in the front, at least, aren't going to have to be as drastic as some people might have thought when he first got here.
Right, especially not in the middle, because when you look at those guys and you look at a guy like Snacks, you know, when he was able to penetrate and get into the pocket and make that push, I think that was when he was at his best. And he talked all year about wanting to improve his sack numbers, and I think that'll help him, that he's still playing in that kind of a scheme. You look on the outside, then I think that I don't know that it helps the pass rush necessarily, but these guys are going to have to be more versatile, more athletic, and dropping back into coverage.
How do you think they'll use JPP? As the stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker rusher or as the 3-4 defensive end?
I think because of his size, I think he's...
I think Vernon's going to be the stand-up rusher. I think we kind of know that, but what are they going to do with JPP?
I think he's going to be more of a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end, sort of like... who was the guy, the big cat that the Jets had for a number of years at their defensive end?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
I hate it when I can't remember names on the air.
okay.
but sort of like that player.
It's been a long couple of days. We're all very tired.
I think he's got the size. I think he's got the mass and the bulk to do that. And I think he's got the athleticism, but I see his athleticism diminishing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the back, if it's the hand, you know. He just doesn't seem as dynamic as he once was, and I think that this will actually be a better move for him to be there, to be a run stopper, and to be able to pursue to the sideline rather than try and get around the edge.
It's very hard, as we've already discussed, to predict
Sean Elliott.
No, how Gettleman will look at the outside of free agency. And because, you know, you're right, it's going to cost a lot of money, and he seems to do better with the bargain basement guys. So let me ask you this. Of the Giants' own free agents, which ones do you think have the best chance of returning?
I think Justin Pugh has a good chance of returning. I think it is going to be a high price because of the position. And when you look at the rankings that people put out of who were the premier offensive linemen who were hitting the market, Justin Pugh's name is always up there. He liked Justin's versatility yesterday when we spoke to Gettleman. He called him a four-hole player, and he said that that's rare. And I think that helps them because they can then have more flexibility, not only when they take the field in September, but they have flexibility now in the offseason when they're putting together their offensive line. So they can say, how do we look? If we bring in a tackle, then we put Justin at this guard. Or if we put Justin at this tackle, then maybe we can get this guard. You know, it opens up a lot of chess pieces. So I think Justin's a, you know, he's got some injury issues, obviously, and I don't know that they're going to be able to match or going to want to match the price that he'll get on the open market. But he's the guy I would say that they would probably want to come back.
We have, by the way, a few more minutes with Tom. If you want to get on the line, we can get a couple phone calls with Tom at 201-939-4513.
See, based on price and also the fact that he loves hog mollies, does Gettleman, I thought you might have said DJ Fluker.
I don't know that he's coming back. You know, some of his tweets this week have seemed to indicate that, he's moving on, and he's got a little fire in his belly, and he wants to prove some people wrong. So we'll see how that works out. My assumption is that he will not be, and I think he would fit that situation, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that it's going to happen.
Okay. Would you expect any?
I would like to see it happen.
I think he did prove something last year.
I think he added a lot to that offensive line. Yes.
Would you expect anything to happen personnel wise between now and the start of free agency?
Cuts, you mean?
Whatever you think might happen.
Or signings? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that from the conversations I've had with Gettleman, it doesn't seem like he's too keen to free up a lot of money. He seems to think that they're in a good spot with the salary cap. There's certainly some moves that they can make to add to that number. But I don't think he's chomping at the bit to increase his cap space. He seems pretty comfortable where they are, which will probably be when the cap comes out about $24-25 million in that area. So he'll have that kind of room, and then they also don't worry too much about the cap because it's just a matter of accounting. You can move money from one column to the other and free up a lot of cap space that way. So I don't think that they're going to make any cuts. One of the things he said was that teams don't give up on their prized players, and they don't let their guys hit the market. And I think if the Giants follow that suit, then I think they could get something done with Justin before he hits the market.
That's not a surprising answer, because any of us who know Dave Gettleman know he's not impulsive. Mm-hmm. He's not a knee-jerk reaction kind of guy. He's very thorough. He investigates.
Yes.
He's very patient.
Yes, yes. And when he came to Carolina, don't forget, he was I think, $15 or $16 million over the cap.
Right.
So for him to start out here being $20-something million under the cap, I think he sees it as a very good position.
Final question for me, gut feeling. What do the Giants do with that second overall pick?
I think it's Barkley. I think it's Saquon Barkley. I think that they, by saying that they want Eli Manning back and that they want him to start the season as quarterback, you're in a win now situation. And I don't think that you can say we're going to win now, but our second overall pick, we hope, doesn't play this year.
Well, and you did ask that question. What did you think of the responses from both Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman when you asked them that exact question?
Yeah, well, they didn't really answer it because that would tip their hand as to what they're going to do. But my sense is that, since they've so much committed to Eli Manning, they need to win now, and they need to win in the next 2 years with Eli Manning if that's their plan, right? So you can't go from that and have this prize, this jewel, after the torture of last year is the number two pick. And you can't say, you know what, we're gonna put that in the bank and we're gonna save it for down the road. No, I think you owe it to yourself, you owe it to the franchise, you owe it to the fans to get somebody who can make an immediate impact, who can be exciting, who can be a generational player. Have you met anybody here who doesn't think Saquon Barkley is the most talented player in this draft?
It would be hard to do so.
That's true. Right. And I think we've asked pretty much everyone we've had on, and they said, yeah, look, if the best bet to be a Hall of Fame player of that group, it's Barkley.
Did Dave Brugler have Quentin?
Well, he has Nelson graded at his highest player on his board, but he didn't necessarily think that he's the, with position value.
That's about
included,
as close as anyone's
the best player.
Right. I think Barkley. I think Barkley, you never look back. I think you draft a quarterback, you draft an offensive lineman, you draft, Chubb at defense, you draft, you trade back maybe. All those things you're going to be in for the rest of the next 10 years, you're going to be in the back of your mind saying, well, what could we have done?
Right.
You draft Barkley, you have no regrets. Move forward.
Tom, good stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
Tom,
thank you, Tom.
From Newsday.